We have officially entered the AI revolution, and in the last year alone, we've seen exactly how powerful AI can be. With viral AI language systems such as ChatGPT being used to write up entire essays, complete school assignments, and even prepare Friday khutbah. Or image generation software that can create realistic images and videos based on prompts from your wildest imagination.
Donald Trump as a Muslim.
Thank you very much.
Or even create for you a virtual studio. And of course, AI voice models that can be trained to replicate famous voices and mimic whatever sound you envision.
Kanye West singing Nasheed.
Ya Habibi, Ya Muhammad.
And the crazy part is this technology is making mammoth progressions by the day. But what does this mean for us as Muslims? Should we be scared? Is this a sign of an approaching apocalyptic doomsday? Or is this something that will pass over us silently and soon wither away? We sat down with one of the world's leading Muslim experts in AI, Dr. Waleed Quddus, no stranger to Silicon Valley, and someone who is responsible for incorporating artificial intelligence into some of the world's biggest brands, such as Google and Uber. Someone who is responsible for pioneering Google Maps. We asked him all the difficult questions, and this is what took place.
Is there a transhuman agenda at play, a movement to merge humans and robots together?
Yeah, I mean...
Before we jump to the interview, which I'm sure you're waiting to hear, if you enjoy this content and all the other content that OnePath Network produces, please support us to create more. We are currently in the final stages of completing our studio to create bigger and better productions to benefit Muslims around the world. Please consider going over to our website and contributing whatever you can to support our mission. Jazakum Allah khair. And now to the interview.
So you've been working with AI for decades, but we are often hearing now AI this, AI that. Yeah. What is artificial intelligence? I mean, how would you explain AI to a 10-year-old child?
Yeah, so artificial intelligence, historically how computers have been programmed is you tell them to do A and B and C. And no matter what they experience or what things they see, they don't change their behavior over time. The essence of artificial intelligence is learning from experience. In other words, every time the algorithm or the computer sees a new example, it's trying to work out what can this example teach me about the world. Throughout our lives, we actually use AI a lot. So for example, when you finish watching a video on Netflix, how does it decide what you should watch next? The AI has been looking, people who watched movie A always like movie B, or they, you know, 50% of them watched, you know, movie B. And so in so doing, you're actually starting to notice patterns in the world. No longer is the computer saying, being told exactly what to do, but it's being told to adapt and modify. And that idea of adaptation is really something that historically has been something that only humans do. And now all of a sudden, computers are becoming stronger at it as well.
Given that AI at the moment can generate realistic images, text, video, and speech, how difficult is it to authenticate information? Is this something that we should be cautious about?
Yeah, I think it is. And especially what we've seen, for example, in the United States with interference in elections by Russians trying to use these techniques. Imagine those techniques on steroids, right? Because now you can personalize it for every person. The detectability is difficult. So it's something we definitely have to pay attention to and hopefully regulate.
How do you feel like this will cause, in terms of the spread of information and false news and things like that, how can we combat this?
Yeah, it's a really difficult problem. And I think it's also because people have not yet learned, you know, to differentiate, you know, between artificial content and genuine content. And the content is designed to press people's buttons. And that leads to things like confirmation bias. So really, it's up to us to really check our sources. And it's not like that this is an un-Islamic thing. You know, in Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, idha ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu. So Allah's telling us that when news comes to you, make sure to take the time to verify that. And those forms of verification are getting more technically complicated, but it's the same basic principles.
From your experience, how far is AI from becoming sentient or conscious?
Yeah, well, scientists have struggled to define consciousness for a long time, and I don't think we have a good grip on it. The Quran says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنَ الْرُوحِ قُلَ الْرُوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. They ask you about the soul or the essence of consciousness. They say that knowledge is from the matters of my Lord. In other words, this type of thing is still not something that people can answer. There's also questions about whether the question is well-formed. One of the early computer science pioneers said, asking if machines can think is like asking if submarines can swim. They're just so different that the question doesn't even make sense.
Will AI replace our friends? Will people stop finding the need to get married and having people, human relationships?
Unfortunately, I do foresee a change on that front. In particular, marriage rates are plummeting across Western societies. Birth rates are plummeting across Western societies. And the cause of that, essentially, is the rise of pornography on the internet. Now, imagine that you take that as an example, and this is only one of the social implications, but imagine that, but really amp it up to 11, where you can use AI to craft an identity that is very tailored to your personal preferences and you know, what you find interesting, whether that's through text or voice or images. And you can see that same unfortunate pattern of social damage that happened with pornography, but much amplified. And that's, I think, something that society will have to deal with. I think it's one of the concerns I do have for how AI will adversely affect the community. And unfortunately, we're already starting to see signs of that.
Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, who created ChatGPT, has said that the technology may pose a risk of extinction.
Yeah.
As someone who's experienced in AI and as a Muslim, how would you respond to that?
It doesn't keep me awake at night is maybe the best way to put it. If you look at the other causes of extinction, like climate change and just society kind of falling apart and the family unit kind of being destroyed, which is what we're seeing now, this isn't the thing that gets me, you know, really worried. The technology is still at its infancy. And Sam Altman has his own agenda. So I've been in Silicon Valley for 15 years now. And what you do is when you have a startup, you want to build a moat around it. You want to build barriers to entry to other people entering it. And so what you do is you get the government to do your dirty work for you, introduce regulations that you know how to meet that other people don't know how to meet. And that's just how business is played. So while I respect Sam Altman's technical abilities, it's also very important to understand that he has an agenda here that he is trying to pursue. And that's just what he's going to do as the CEO of OpenAI.
What are some potential uses of AI in the Islamic space that can actually contribute positively?
Yeah, I think I've seen some very interesting applications. I think one that really demonstrates the possibilities is Tartil, which is a mobile phone app that listens to you read Quran and tells you when you make a mistake. You know, historically, this has taken you sitting down with someone or finding someone to be your buddy. But this app makes it so much easier. So it's like a general tool that can be used for almost any purposes. The apps that can generate images can generate artistic images that encourage us to kind of really reflect if they're in the right hands with the right prompts. There are so many exciting possibilities here in terms of just every aspect of Islam.
So as an expert in AI, do you trust the information that comes out from these bots and programs?
No, I don't. I know that may sound counterintuitive to people, but I've spent a lot of time working with these bots firsthand, and I know that they have a problem with what's called hallucination. It's not just that they are ignorant, which means that they don't know, but they hallucinate. They don't know that they don't know. In other words, they can make stuff up, be 100% confident that it's correct, and it actually completely...
Yeah, they call that jahal murakkab in Arabic.
When really?
When you don't know that you don't know, yeah.
Yeah, so yes, the big problem with AI is jahal murakkab, right? Nothing stops it from making up a hadith that doesn't exist, for example. And the current iterations of the technology have a problem called hallucination. They just make things up. So there are certain chatbots that if you ask them right now, you know, do I need to wash my knees as part of wudu? Will tell you, yes, you have to wash your knees as part of wudu. And so sometimes they'll make things up, and especially dangerous is they can be very confident that they're and wrong at the same time. So they won't tell you, I'm not sure. They will just give you a confident answer. So I think we have to kind of be very cautious about using AI in the religious space. I think there are uses. Imagine, you know, right now searching Quran and Hadith is still very difficult. Because often we look for words, but words don't capture meaning. And one of the great things with these AI systems is that they capture meaning or what's called semantic information. And that makes things like hadith search and Quran search potentially much better. And that could also be a very awesome tool for scholars, but scholars have the wisdom to interpret and judge that.
So in the past decades, we've seen the problem that we've had with Sheikh Google. Yeah. Are we going to have the same problem with Sheikh AI?
Yes. I mean, that's the short version of the answer. I think we as a community need to develop our skill to differentiate and understand these technologies well enough to understand their limitations. I think we think that they are somehow magical and they must be talking truth and ignore, you know, the historical biases that have existed in things like search results. And so this has led to kind of all kinds of polarization in society. And I think that there is a risk with these technologies that you could have that same kind of polarization effect if they are not used appropriately. So I think there is definitely the room for that to happen. I mean, there's always this challenge with the Muslim community. You can either say that what they're doing is wrong, or you can adapt to whatever they're doing and make it better. You know, do you say that, no, you should never search the internet for Islamic information, which is one approach? Or do you actually say, well, why don't we work on tools that make it better and more effective and more authentic and more consistent to search the internet for answers? And that's really the perspective I would like to take.
How biased are some of these AI chatbots? I asked ChatGPT when it first came out to explain the Palestinian conflict to a 10-year-old, and it gave me some sort of response saying that it's a very complex, difficult thing to sort of explain. What are some of the dangers with this particular bias?
So bias is a very real thing, right? These systems are not kind of made mysteriously, right? Like, there are humans who make these systems, and there's two things to think about. One is the piece of software that they write, the algorithms, right? And then the other thing is that the data that they use to build the models. The models are the things that do the thinking, if you like. So imagine a programmer is sitting there in California. He has probably a Western liberal bias. He's not even aware of the bias because that's one of the challenges with bias. And he's making choices about how the algorithm works and the data that they're using to train the algorithm, and goes, oh, this is good data, this is bad data. Even if he doesn't mean to introduce bias, bias is going to make its way in. And this is something that has been comprehensively proven, and especially the work of Timnit Gebru, who used to work at Google, and then when she published papers in this area, got fired, really demonstrates that this bias is a real thing. The good news is there are ways to reduce the bias. So you can either change the data that you use to train the model, or in some cases, you can change the personality of the software that comes and says, please, I want you to adopt an Islamic personality, an Islamic mindset. And in my own experiments, that's something that's actually worked surprisingly well.
We've seen the impact of social media on our attention spans. Yep. And given that AI has the ability to write up our assignments and make some of the thinking tasks a lot quicker, will this make us a lazy or a dumb society?
Ooh, that's a very, very tricky question. Every time a new major technology was introduced, people had concerns that it was going to cause the destruction of humanity. So even when published books, when printing presses came out, people were like, this is going to damage people's memory and it's going to make everything worse and no one will remember anything. But now we see that the net impact of books has been positive. Having said that, you have to ask the question, has this gone too far? Are we now living in such a society of ease that it affects our value judgments, right? So when knowledge was hard to obtain and when it was hard to learn about Islamic knowledge, we seem to have respected it more.
They used to travel for months to get one hadith.
Exactly. And now we live in an age where you can get every hadith in 10 seconds. Every hadith ever written, ever documented in 10 seconds. But it hasn't really made us like better Muslims, right? Because there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And that's my concern with this technology as well. Sometimes when you make things easier and more accessible, you devalue them in the process. And that's really my fear.
Is there a transhuman agenda at play, you know, a movement to merge humans and robots together?
Yeah, I mean, there are people who have that view within the community and talk a lot about things like the singularity, you know, when we'll come together and there'll be a new species, Homo roboticus or something like that. We're not really seeing things go in that direction. And, you know, there's always going to be people on the margins who have crazy ideas. But I don't think this is something that I've seen like a conspiracy happening in Silicon Valley, you know, to merge humans and robots together.
Could the advancements of artificial intelligence possibly cast a doubt on the awe-inspiring nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation?
Not for me, certainly not. If anything, it's the opposite. And, you know, all of these machines, all of these, you know, crazy algorithms, we still can't, you know, there's a verse in the Quran that talks about humanity creating a fly. We haven't even managed to create a fly. So, I mean, the thought that this is going to somehow affect our iman because we've kind of glued together lots of information on the internet and made like a little, you know, they call them stochastic parrots, random parrots. You know, like think of these things as like lots of monkeys that have been trained on the internet, as if that reflects something and a change in our faith. That seems preposterous to me.
Given that AI has the capability of replicating human voice, matching visuals, or even bringing back to virtual life someone who's passed away, is AI playing the role of God?
You'll notice that there's something common to all of these patterns, which is all of these algorithms, they need something to get them started. So even if you want to create someone who's alive after they were dead, you need like every email they've ever sent or every phone call that they've ever made. All these things are doing is just replicating things that Allah had. I remember Muhammad Sharif used to tell the story of, you know, scientists who said, you know what, we can now create like a tiny little insect. And they have a discussion with God and God says, well, then go get your own dirt and elements that you use to make the insect. All this is doing is clever reassembly. If anything, it just lets us wonder about like how Allah did this in the first place.
How can a Muslim ensure that AI does not ruin their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Yeah, that's a very, very deep question. It definitely has the potential to. You could use AIs to educate you about Islam. You could use it to build really great dawah material, but you can also use it to build machines that kill people, machines that do other disastrous things, that spam people and cause facade in the land and so on. So it's really up to us to use the benefits of AI to help us grow better. And, you know, in much the same way that having access to books is neither good nor bad, it just really depends on like your focus and your choice. You can make choices in how you use AI, for example, to summarize Islamic books. You can use it for your spiritual development just as much, and it can benefit in that way too.
You've worked on developments such as Google Maps and Uber, both of which are technologies that have changed people's lives. Where do you see AI, you know, taking humanity forward within the next five to 10 years?
Yeah, wow, that's a really, really tricky question. All of these technologies, what they're going to do is amplify the trends that exist already in society. And the evil will become worse and the good will become better. And it's really up to us to make sure that that will go in the positive direction. I foresee a world where education and learning about the world is going to be much accelerated. I can see a world where people feel more productive and fulfilled at work because of the menial tasks that their work involves have been automated. But I can also see a world of more unemployment and more inequity in society, where the poor get poorer and the rich get richer. And that's where we as Muslims have to be part of this discussion to ensure that the right things happen in society, that society moves in the direction of positivity, of utility for the community as a whole.
And do you think Muslims should embrace AI, or should they stand and wait back and find out what happens?
The lessons of history and Islam to me are that it's been a bad idea for us to stay back. And really, we want people at the forefront of these skills. So I think about, you know, when the printing press was introduced, originally many scholars opposed the printing press because it was seen as destructive to knowledge and putting these hands on the people. The same thing if you remember back to the internet or satellite television. Muslims were originally opposed, only to later embrace these technologies and start to use them and miss out on the benefit of all those years when they said that they were not really very useful. So I think if we have people who have the right mentality, who can take the time to understand this technology, we have the opportunity here to direct this technology in a way that we think could bring about more social good and less social harm. And I don't think we can stick our heads in the sands. If we don't have Islamic alternatives for people, people are just going to go use ChatGPT or whatever else. So it's really important for us to be part of this narrative from the beginning. And that's become a driving factor for me personally investing in this space, because it is going to be an agent of social change, and I'd rather have it play out for us than against us.
Dr. Waleed Quddus, JazakAllah khair for your time. It's been a very beneficial discussion.
Absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.